Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. I studied and been studying off and on as the Lord would direct my heart, give me things on what I thought I was going to be preaching this morning. What I went to bed thinking I was going to preach this morning. But it wasn't what I got up thinking I was going to preach this morning. Two or three times during the night, the Lord woke me up or I woke up. And usually on Saturday night when I wake up, what I'm preaching is just on me, in me. A lot of times I have a hard time sleeping. It's on me. And I preach it in my dreams a lot of times. You know, God gives me stuff in my sleep. A lot of times if I can wake up, I keep me a pad there. I'll write it down. I've lost a lot of good things not writing it down. But during the course of the evening or the night last night, when I'd wake up, I thought, well, something's up. Something's up with that. You know, it was getting cold. That what I went to bed with, the message, was getting cold in my heart. And you know what I'm talking about. If you preached or whatever, taught a lesson and it heavy on you, and all of a sudden it's taking flight. It's getting wings. And I said, all right, Lord, what do you want? So he began to deal with me about this just simple subject this morning, getting from God what you need. Getting from God what you need. And we could turn to about any passage in the Gospels, multiple passages throughout the Scripture, and find a text that you could go with. But we're going to focus in on this one, or at least use this as a springboard, chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him. There's your threefold recipe for getting some help from God, getting what you need from the Lord. Came a leper to him, came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. Here it is. Here's the whole reason why he had to go to the priest and go through that procedure still under the law at this point, for a testimony unto them. God wants his touch to be a testimony. When God touches you, as he did this leper, and cleanses him, God makes an immediate move thereafter to establish a testimony. He's saying, I want others to know. I want others to be able to see what God has done in them. Verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly or publicly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now that you will help us take our thoughts, your thoughts, and Lord, just guide me through what you'd have me to say this morning. And Lord, we'll trust you to do that. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being good. Thank you for gracing us today with your presence. Lord, there's nothing that would ever take the place of your presence. No performance, no programs, no personalities. Lord, none of that could ever challenge you or even compete with you about what you can do when you show up. We need you to show up even more today. Lord, I'm thrilled, I'm blessed, I'm thankful for what you've done already in the service, but I am not satisfied yet. Lord, you have more for us, I'm sure, Lord. You want to take us into deeper waters. You're wanting to, Lord, to deal with sinners this morning. You're wanting to save somebody this morning. You're wanting to deal with those that are saved, that are distant, or could not give a good answer to the question asked earlier about could they stand, could they reference a text, a verse, a passage that you fed them with? Could they stand and give something verbally that you had given to them this week and have encouraged them and strengthened them with this week? Lord, I pray that, dear God, you'll speak to us all about whatever is wrong in our life, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find Jesus is busy. You find Jesus really focusing his earthly outreach on people. He was a people man. He dealt with people. And he was really dealing with people that had needs. He was concerned about their needs. He was the one qualified to meet their needs. And I mean, you can look through page after page and you can deal with the leper. You can deal with the blind men. You can deal with, you can deal with the woman with the issue of blood. You can deal with the lame man, the deaf man, the dumb that was made to speak. You can look at those that were demon-possessed, like the Gadarean man and others. And the Lord began to help me to see a common denominator through all of them. Jesus never turned anybody away. He never met a case, no matter how, in fact, as far gone as it could be, as a dead person. I mean, that's as far gone as gone could be, humanly speaking. That is as hopeless as it comes right there, is that not? But when Jesus would be confronted with that very condition of death, guess what? He could raise them up. Sure. But why? Because he possesses power that is greater than your problems. Your problem may look hopeless. Your condition may look completely beyond help in the human realm. But don't count God out, because God possesses all power in heaven and in earth. But I noticed a common denominator. You say, what is that? That's another English thing. Don't think that I know much about English, but I try to study a little bit. But that common denominator is something that is true in every case. Something that stands out, that links this one to that one and to that one and to that one. And I'm looking at a congregation of people right now that there's a common denominator within us. We that are saved especially. We that are saved. There's something that connects you to me and me to you. And here's what God spoke to my heart about. And that common denominator is that people were dealing with the Lord about what was wrong with them. And Jesus was dealing with people about what was right with him. He dealt with people about what was wrong with them. They dealt with Jesus about what was wrong with them. And Jesus dealt with them also about what was right with him. Amen. Oh, that stuck out to me. That got big to me. And that just that little analogy there of a doctor. You go to a doctor, what for? When there's something wrong with you. You avoid them, and I do, at all costs, until there's something bad wrong with me. Are you listening? And you go because, listen, they that are whole need not a physician. They that are sick are the ones that need a physician. Sick? Yep, those that's got something wrong with them. Amen. And if you're not careful, you will allow what's wrong with you to keep you away from God. But it was actually the common denominator that brought Jesus and the person together. Amen. And I began to think about that this morning. You know, what's wrong with you? And the Lord gave me these four things that I want to share with you this morning. Simple, so simple, it's beyond the simple. But it's practical. It's practical in that if we'll look at these four things, and you can turn to about any one of the miracles, anywhere Jesus was dealing with somebody about what was wrong in their life. And by the way, let me just give you this. Here's what you'll find. You'll find about three options. One, you'll find that the person that's got something wrong, such as in our text, the one that's got leprosy, he is making the move to Christ to get help about what's wrong with him. Amen. And of course, we know leprosy is a type of sin. And you can go in Leviticus 13 and 14 and get great parallel applications of that. But so you have the one that's got something wrong with them making a move to Christ. And then you find other accounts where Jesus is making his move towards somebody that is got something wrong with them. Then there's a third option. And that is where you find people involving themselves into the situation and going just like Jairus. His daughter was at the point of death. 12 years old, he wasn't sick, he didn't have nothing wrong with him personally, but he looked at her need, his daughter, what was wrong with her, and took that upon himself to go and get Jesus to come and deal with. So you have the person that's got something wrong with them going to Jesus, you have Jesus going and dealing it on occasions. Like blind Bartimaeus didn't go to Jesus about his problem. Jesus was passing by. Amen. Zacchaeus, Jesus was passing through. Amen. Jesus was coming by where the person that's got something wrong with them were. And then you have people that involve themselves in, like a soul winner, like a witness, somebody serving the Lord, and you go to God in behalf of somebody else. The nobleman went to Christ in Matthew chapter 8. And you know, he said, hey, I've got a servant that's in bad shape. Just speak the word only. You know, just speak the word only and get it done. Take care of business. But anyway, I've noticed these four things. If Lord will help me, I want to just share them with you this morning. Number one, and these are this is very practical. Write them down. You can use this as a recipe to getting from God what you need. Number one, I wrote down these words. Point number one, honest confession. No, you'll never get anything from God that you need as long as you are in denial of what's wrong with you. Go to any doctor, go to any specialist, go to any hospital. It doesn't matter how qualified the staff, it does not matter what reputation the hospital has for helping you. If you go in there with the mentality, nothing is wrong with me, they cannot even help you. We know that God possesses all power in heaven and earth, and we know the Bible is an example of His supernatural ability. But listen to this, God cannot even help you if you're in denial and dishonest about what's wrong with you. Help can be had. Thank God, that's good news. No matter what's wrong with you this morning, help can be had if you'll be honest with your confession of it. The leper coming to the Lord, his actions, his whole approach, everything was saying to the Lord, I have a problem. And here, watch this, and my problem has me. See, that's when you need to get help. It's when you not only have a problem, but the problem begins to have you. Your problem begins to control you. See, that's what a lost person is. A lost person is unsaved. They're controlled by sin. Amen. You're not just a sinner, but your sin is controlling you. Your sin nature is controlling you. But help can be had, deliverance can be had when you confess yourself to be what? A sinner. A problem that you cannot fix. So, number one, there is honest confession. And what drove this leper in our text? What drove him to this honest confession of being a leper and needing deliverance and needing help? I thought about this. One, the damage that was being done by his condition. The leper did not look at his condition with favor. Oh, it's not that bad. You'll never hear a leper say that about his leprosy. Oh, it's not too bad. It doesn't matter if it's one spot or their whole body's eat up with it. They don't look at that as, oh, it's okay. It's not that bad. They realize the destructivity of their condition. And when I've got a problem, and by the way, I've got them. Are you listening? We've all got problems this morning. We've all got weak areas. We've all got deficient areas spiritually. We've got areas that we're failing God in, and we might as well be honest about. I didn't ask that question earlier about your Bible reading to just make you depressed and suicidal and all that stuff. But to surface your condition. What drove this man in our text, Brother Tim, to an honest confession? Being honest. I've got a problem. And my problem's got me. Was the damage he seen. He saw the declining health. He saw that he once was here, and now because of his problem, he's here. You ever notice that in your life? I noticed that in my life. And of course, as pastor and overseer, I noticed that in your life a lot of times when you was here and now you're here. Listen, what would drive you to an honest confession? And don't make light of it. Oh, that's where we get in trouble, when we make light of our problem. Oh, it's not so bad. If it's taking your joy, it's bad. If it's putting decline in your life spiritually, it's bad. If it's causing you to be cold toward the Bible, it's bad. If it's causing you to be cold and bored with church, it's bad. If it takes your desire to serve God and to be used of God, it's bad. The damage, no good in it. No good in it. No good in it at all. What about this? The dissatisfaction. What brought him to a honest confession? What will bring you to... And listen, I'm using the leper here, but you could go through and look at... You can look at the blind men. You could look at many of the different ones and individuals that Jesus touched. And you'll find that honest confession's there. They had to get honest to deal with their need. When Jesus stopped at blind Bartimaeus, a good case in point. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Blind Bartimaeus did not even have to take a minute and study on it. And he just immediately responded and said that I might receive my sight. What was wrong with him? He was blind. He was dealing with God about what was wrong with him. Jesus didn't point that out to him. He said, what's wrong with you? That's a summary of that question. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? You've got something going on in your life that requires me, that needs me. What is it? Jesus could have been on the affirmative. He could have been on the offense. He could have said, look, you're blind. I know what's wrong with you. And he did. He knew where he was at. He knew what he was. And he passed by on purpose, thank God. He knew where, he knows where you're at this morning. He knows what's wrong with you. He knows what your problem is. But he's waiting before he can help you. By the way, it indicates there with Bartimaeus that he passed on by. He was passing on by. And blind Bartimaeus, realizing his opportunity of getting from God what he needed, was passing by. And he began to cry out the more. And he began to cry aloud, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, how simple is that? Help can be received from God about what's wrong with you, no matter if it's being saved or whether it's getting right with God. If you'll get honest and say, I've got a problem, and my problem has got me. Isn't that so simple? The damage he saw, the decline he saw, the dissatisfaction. Every day this leper got up out of the bed. Every day it was, man, I hate this. I hate this leprosy. I hate what it's doing to me. I hate what it's doing to my family. I hate what it's doing to my reputation. Nobody wants to have anything to do with me. You ever notice that's what leprosy does? Leprosy puts distance between you and loved ones. Go back in Leviticus 13 and 14, and you'll find out that a lot of times when a person that even had a family had leprosy, they were almost excommunicated out to a leprosy colony. Why? Because it's so contagious. Are y'all listening? Dissatisfaction, the damage, the decline that is involved. There's got to be an honest confession. As long as you excuse it, take up for it, make light of it, say everybody else is doing it, everybody else has got this problem, there's no help for you. But when you get honest, when you've evaluated your own life and realize, I am not what I need to be. I've got a problem. There's damage I'm experiencing. There's decline I'm experiencing. There's dissatisfaction that I'm experiencing. I've asked this question before in churches. I've asked it here. If you're so right with God, where's your joy at? If you're so right with God, where's your joy at? If you're going in the right direction, where's your joy at? Say amen right there. If what you're trying to do and accomplish and have and be or whatever, if that's the will of God, where's your joy at?
That's right. Amen.
The joy of the Lord's your strength.
Right.
Joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And I know for personally, when I'm not where I'm supposed to be, my joy is gone. Amen. Well, we're having a good time. I mean, listen, the prodigal, we're just naming a few. There's so many of them. They all didn't get any help, and they all got help when they got honest. When the prodigal came to himself, and he admitted, I need to go back to my father's house. Business picks up when you get honest about what you need. Go to a doctor and you got something wrong with you, and he asks you, what's wrong with you? Where are you hurting? How you feeling? And then you just start mealy-mouthing around and not, you know, avoiding the problem, avoiding any identity of it. And you think he's going to help you? In fact, I'll tell you what will happen. One, he'll probably start lining, all right, since you're not going to tell me, I'll just get in your pocketbook. I'll just do all kinds of tests on you from head to toe, and then you'll have to sell your left kidney to pay for it. Amen. When you could be honest and come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a problem. I've got a bitterness problem. I have got a lust problem. I have got an addictive problem. Whatever it is, get honest with God.
Right.
Boy, watch this right here. You won't run God off by telling him what your problem is. If somebody come up to me and say, I've got leprosy, I say, get out of my face. I'll pray for you from a distance. Because leprosy is contagious. But when the leper comes to Jesus, Jesus, my friend, didn't run. Jesus didn't start covering his mouth. No, Jesus, don't run when you open up and confess to him. I've got an issue. I've got a problem. It's not me. It's eating away my spiritual life. If you're here lost without God, you won't run Jesus off by coming to an altar and say, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. Jesus won't run.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. That's good. Listen to this right here. Boy, this is good right here. You know what Proverbs 28:13 says? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Covereth. Hide it. Deny it. Blame it on somebody else. Amen. Boy, I'm so much aware, Brother Tom, right now, I'm telling you, I'm alert to the fact God is trying to speak to people.
Amen.
And I hope you're listening. I do. I hope you're listening. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Right.
Jesus, who is right, is qualified to deal with you at what's wrong with you. Amen. Let me move on, number two. Write that one down. I could preach a whole message on that one right there. on being honest with God. You've got to get honest with yourself first, and then get honest with God. Assume the blame for the condition you're in. Amen. Number two. A second way of getting from God what you need is not only an honest confession, but a hunger for a change. Hunger for a change. Everybody in that, I've mentioned already, blind Bartimaeus, the leper, the blind men, you know, all case in points that we could bring out, you'll find out that there had to be a desire, there had to be a dissatisfaction, there had to be a desire, there had to be an inward hunger to change. We've all heard Brother Ivan's testimony. It's enough. We could probably tell it ourselves. I still like hearing it. Amen. I like hearing yours. Amen. I'd like to hear some of yours. Amen. Y'all notice the change of wording there? I like to hear yours, and then I'd like to hear some of yours. Some I've never heard. I'm in my 23rd year. Some of you I've pastored a long time, and I've never heard it yet. Some I've only heard once. Something wrong with that. Spirituality is vocal as well as visible. But anyway, there's a hunger for a change. I want to be changed. Brother Ivan, what was he saying? There's got to be something better to life than this. Doping and drinking and partying and all of that. I think Brother Craddock's even said that. In his testimony, anybody else had that in their testimony, may not have said it, but it was there. Dissatisfied. Miss Andre, that's basically what you were. I'm dissatisfied with this. I'm so dissatisfied with the direction I'm going in. I'm so dissatisfied with what my choices are doing to me. I am so sick of this. Listen, if you'll get sick, Jesus is the physician. Jesus is the physician. There's got to be a hunger for change. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be the element of desperation. You can't come and get help from God. Well, if I get help, fine. If I don't, fine. But when it's desperate. When this leper realized, if I don't get some help, the only other alternative for me is constant decline, ending only in death. And boy, the devil's after that. If you're here lost, he's after to... He wants to take you to hell. He don't want you to get right with God. He don't want you to get from God what you need. And by the way, let me just emphasize that real quickly. You will never get what you need from this world. Right. Lost or saved, you'll never get what you need from this world. Amen. You get what you need from God. Amen, that's right. Amen. Oh yeah, Miss Andrea was giving a testimony there about the prayer requests in her family. You know, parents, I'll tell you why and the Lord spoke to me, I started to say something about it. Lord evidently wants it now, but hey, you know what? You know why you need to be spiritual, parents? You know why you need to be spirit-filled, hooked up with God, in tune with God? Because you may be that one, like Jairus, that's having to go and get Jesus to go address the problem of your children. They're not going to, amen, maybe in some cases. They're not going to, so you need to be the one that have a connection with God, amen, a hookup with God, and put God on their case, put God in their trail, put God in their bed at night, to where, my friend, their pillow turns to stone, and their sleep takes wings and fly away, and they're miserable. They get up in the morning, and they're miserable. They go to bed miserable. Everything they do is miserable. Why? They've got a praying mom on the other end. Amen. A praying dad on the other end, parents. The devil wants you to be carnal. The devil wants you to be half-hearted. The devil wants you to treat your spiritual life like a toy. Why? So you can't help your children spiritually. You can help them financially. You can give them $5 if they need it or whatever, but you can't help them spiritually. Amen. If you were needed to, parents, mom and dad, grandparents included. Right now, if you were needed, called on right now to get a hold of God for your child or children or grandchildren in an emergency situation, could you do it? Are you in tune with God where you could pray? I'm not talking about pray phrases. I'm talking about get a hold of God. Got to be honest confession. There's got to be a hunger for a change. There's got to be that element of decline, that element of dissatisfaction, that element of desire. You know when you get saved? When you want to. Now, I didn't say any time you want to. I wasn't meaning that. We believe in a whosoever will, but not a whensoever will. You can't say, all right, I'm going to live for the devil all of my life, and then when I'm on my deathbed, I'll cry out to God and get saved. That don't always happen. In fact, we only have one account of that in the Bible. The whole Bible. One person got saved before they died, and that was the thief on the cross. You don't know if the Lord's going to deal with you. You don't know if you're going to die slowly. You don't know if you're going to be in a coma. You don't know how you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know how you're going to die, if it's going to be slow or sudden. We don't know. Best thing to do is get right now while you got mind to, while you got an opportunity to, while the door of opportunity is open, and get in. But there's got to be a desire. God has never saved anybody that didn't want to. Say amen right there. Now listen, your flesh will never want to. Your flesh will never want to be saved. Your flesh will choose hell over heaven. Your flesh will. That's what I'm talking about. If you got that desire and that want to be saved, God's doing that. God's doing that. But anyway, let me move on. Not only there's got to be an honest confession. Number two, there's got to be a hunger for a change. I want to be changed. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this issue in my life. I'm tired of being dull and dead and dry. I'm tired of sitting in a service unattached and uninvolved and uninterested. I'm tired of that, preacher. I am sick of it. I want to get right with God. You can get help from God, whatever you need. Number three, write it down quickly. Not only honest confession, a hunger for a change. Wasn't that so simple? Amen. The leper wanted what he needed, and he needed what he wanted. Brother Gillum, our problem is when we don't get help, when we don't get what we need from Brother Mark, when we don't get what we need from the Lord, you know what? We're wanting what we don't need, and we're needing what we don't want. Number three is not only an honest confession, a hunger for a change, but there's got to be a hunting for Christ. Hunting for Christ. Amen. That's good. Seek after the Lord. Right. Scriptures in the Word of God in the book of Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Nothing wrong with seeking the Lord. We know Zacchaeus got saved, but do you ever notice that passage, that verse there where it said he sought to see Jesus, who he was? He had heard about him. He had no doubt heard testimonies of what the Lord had done for other people. Amen. And him being a tax collector, he probably maybe even knocked on their door. He probably got taxes from them and so forth and saw. Well, can you imagine going to a door that had a wreath hanging on it possibly, you know, the day before, the week before, or the month before, or whatever. And now the one that died come to the door and said, can I help you? Well, I thought you was dead. Well, I was. What happened? Jesus passed by. Jesus spoke life to me. Amen. Maybe he did that with somebody that was a leper, somebody that was blind, somebody that was deaf and dumb, somebody that was lame, and he same report. Jesus did it. And when he heard it was Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, when she heard that it was Jesus, how did she know about him? She'd heard people talk about him. This is what he done for me. This, he changed my life. There's got to be a hunting for Christ. Amen. I've told lost people this. You want to be saved? Then you need to put yourself where that's very likely to happen. You want to be saved? You're probably not going to find it down at the beer joint. You're probably not going to find even the possibility of it down there, you know, wiggling and jiggling on the dance floor. Right. Or a rock concert, or even a country concert, or, you know, or somewhere like that. I said, hey, if you want to be saved, if that's in you and you want to be saved, I tell you what I'd do. I'd be in church every time the doors is open. Anytime the Word of God is being opened, amen, God uses His Word. Every time the doors open, I'm going to be there. I'm going to position myself to where I can get some help if help can be had. Hunting for the Lord, hunting for Christ, seeking after the Lord, putting yourself where you can. Listen, I believe this is good advice. We know God saves people by using His Word. If you're lost and you really want to get saved, and God uses the seed, the incorruptible seed, to bring that to pass, why don't you just start reading the Bible? I know it's spiritually written, and I know it must be spiritually discerned. I understand that. But I believe the Holy Spirit of God can put that in you, and you may be unaware of it. God put that in you, generating faith in you. Amen. Hunting for Christ, seeking the Lord. This leper man came to Jesus, and there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, kneeling down to Him, saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Matthew's account of this, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, the Lord, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Another account of that, he came running and kneeling down. Luke's account says he come running and kneeling down. Amen. Hunting for Christ. I've got leprosy, no need me to hunt for after man. Man can't help me. No need for me to hunt after finances. That can't help me. Because leprosy was incurable. Leprosy was irreversible. Leprosy was a death certificate. This leper hunting after the Lord went to Him. Why? Because if anybody can help him, Jesus is the only source of help. So you not only have to have an honest confession, a hunger for a change. I want to be changed. I don't want to just God take away my guilt. I want God to change me. Then thirdly, there must be a hunting for Christ. Amen. Hunting for Christ. Why did he come to Christ? He had confidence in Him. If thou wilt, thou canst. I like that. Thou canst make me clean. He come with faith. He come with confidence. Lord, you can. If you just will, you can. You've got the ability. And no doubt that was generated, that faith, confidence, Brother Tom, was generated by no doubt seeing individuals that had come in contact with Jesus through their life and that Jesus done a work in them. Amen. And not only the honest confession and the hunger of a change and a hunting for Christ. Well, I like that. No doubt people were declaring it verbally and demonstrating it verbally. Hunting for Christ, getting help became a priority to him. Wasn't optional. It was a priority. No matter what else, I'm getting help. I'm being changed. I'm sick of this. Amen. And that's applicable in being lost. That's applicable in being saved and not where you need to be with God. Number four and last, having conversion. Having, getting what you need. Getting what you need. Starts out with an honest confession. Moves to a hunger for a change and hunting for Christ. Get where he's at, get where he can be found. The woman with the issue of blood made her way to where Jesus was. Right. And then fourth, there is having or possessing or receiving the conversion that Jesus can do. What happens when he does it? What happens? I wrote this down, as simple as it can be. There is a cancellation of sin. Cancellation. Jesus looks at that leprosy, which is irreversible. No man, no medicine, no means could ever cancel it, reverse it, stop it, alter it, none of it. Leprosy, just like sin, is a death certificate. But I want to tell you, praise God, Jesus was able to say, sure, that's enough. Cancel the power of that sin. Cancel the power of leprosy. There's got to be that. Aren't you glad of that? Thank God I'm glad that Jesus is able to forgive you of your sin. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, I'm so glad Jesus can heal. I'm glad Jesus is the answer for whatever's wrong in your life. And He can change your life. Amen. I'm glad of that. Psalm 32, was it Psalms 32, 1? Blessed is he that whose sin's been forgiven him. Amen. Well, I like that. Praise the Lord. Be forgiven. Be forgiven of your sin. Cleansed. And then not only that, a cancellation of the sin. And of course, Psalms 103, our girls been to youth camp. They quote that verse, was it 10, 11, and 12? They quote that verse about how God can forgive you of your sin. Verse number 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Goes on down verse 3, who healeth all thy disease, who forgiveth all thy sin and all thy iniquity and healeth all thy diseases. He said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know. It's no worse than leprosy. That's the worst. It can't get no worse than that. Can't get no worse than that. And Jesus canceled it. Jesus canceled it. Not only is there, I see, in when you get saved, what happens is there's a cancellation of sin. When you get saved, there is the habitation of the Spirit. You become the indwelling place for the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're saved, getting help from God, you've already got within you the Holy Spirit can help you. Amen. Let me ask you something. If you're right where you need to be in the direction you need to be going in, why is the Spirit of God grieved in you? Why is the Spirit of God grieved? I pay attention to that. When the Spirit of God's grieved in me, I know I've done something, thought something, my attitude, something's wrong, and I address that. And then there's the transformation of the steps that comes when you get the help you need. A change comes, friend. This leper right here was completely changed. Completely changed. I'm glad Jesus can give us the help we need. And then there's this adoration of the Savior. The celebration of the Savior. This look what it says, verse number 45. And he went out and began to publish it much. That is, he began to publish it often. He began to publish it in that he began to herald it. He began to be a public crier. He began to proclaim. See, when you get the help you need, you'll want to be vocal about it. Right. When you're not, when the problem has you and you've got a problem, amen, guess what? You begin to be silent. You begin to be quiet. Amen. He began to publish it much. That is, he published it largely. He published it abundantly. He published it greatly. He a great deal, a great while, long, plenteous. And the Bible said it then, he blazed abroad the matter. See how it just kept getting bigger and bigger? He began to blaze abroad the matter. There was some fire about it. There was some illumination involved there as he began to tell Jesus, what Jesus had done for him. And he told it so much that everywhere Jesus went, everybody kept saying, there he is. There, that's him. That's him. That's the one that did that. That's the one that changed that life. That's the one. That's the way we ought to do. We ought to talk about him so much at every service. Everybody kept saying, that's him. Jesus, that's who we need. That's who we need. That's what I need. I need to get to him. If I can get to him, I can get what I need. Just simple truth right there. Simple four-step, actually three, and then you get the results. Honest confession, hunger for a change, and hunting for Christ. Humbling yourself down before Christ. Humbling yourself in contrition. The Bible said he's beseeching him, kneeling down to him. You'll not get the help you need in pride, but you can get help that you need in contrition and brokenness. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads